Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the highlight of human civilization. It's called Coffee with Scott Adams. It's the best time you're ever going to have, maybe in your whole life. And if you'd like to take it up a level that even aliens can't understand, all you need is a cup or a mug or a glass, a tanker, chalice, a stein, a canteen, jug or flask, a vessel of any kind. Fill it with your favorite liquid. I like coffee. And join me now for the unparalleled pleasure, the dopamine of the day, the thing that makes everything better. It's called the simultaneous sip. It happens now. Go. Oh, that's so good. That's extra good, actually. Yeah. Hey. That's a good meme. Looks just like me. Well, I hope you can hear me because I can't hear myself. Both my ears are clogged. Gonna need to get some medical care. Got some ear infections. But enough about me. Today's theme is shithole places. Shithole places. Except it's all about America. So, sorry. Do you remember when the term shithole country referred specifically to not places in America? Well, that all changed. That all changed in a few years of Biden. But first, let's talk about this. From 2003 to 2022, this is a loneliness check-in. American adults reduced socializing by 30%. So socializing went down 30% in those years. And for teens, the decline was nearly 50%. And there is no period of time in history when people spend more time alone. Do you have a theory for that? I do. One theory is that people got worse, they're on their phone, etc. But here's another theory. I've got a couple more. Do you notice a lot of people don't drink anymore? If I were a drinker, which I'm not, I would have all kinds of social interaction. It'd be easy. Here's what I'd do. I would host a party at my house. I'd invite people I knew that'd be fun. And at the end of the party, if there were, let's say, 30 people went to the party, at least two of them at the end of the night would say, hey, I think I'm going to put a party together and I'll invite you. And then you get invited to their party. And then it becomes this virtuous circle of everybody's putting on a party and they know each other. And it's actually easy when alcohol is involved. When alcohol is not involved, I don't really feel that social because I don't really even know how to do it. I wouldn't even know how to put on a party, like a large party, unless it was alcohol related. But I have one more scientific theory, but I'm going to have to call an expert. Do you mind if I call an expert? I'm just going to check on something about loneliness. Just make a little call here. All right, got it. If you don't mind, I'll let you know what's going on here. Hello, hello. This is Scott Adams. I'm looking for BF. Is BF there? No, not my boyfriend. BF Skinner. Is he there? All right, they're getting him. So there's this guy named BF Skinner. He might have done some science. Hi, BF. Hi, it's Scott. Scott Adams. No, don't believe anything you heard in the news. No, no, none of that's true. No, 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 don't hang up. I just have one question. And it's a hypothetical. Now, you did some tests. I know you did some tests with some dogs and some bells and some food and some operant conditioning, it's called, I think. What would be the effect, BF Skinner, if you took a population of people and 50 to 100 times a day, you reminded them that the biggest health risk in their whole world is other people because they're all infected with a deadly virus. And the closer you get to another person, the more likely you're going to die for 2 years, every day, every minute. And if you were able to forget about it for a moment, we could remind you by wearing masks everywhere. so that whenever you saw another person, you'd say, oh my God, that person might be infected. I better stay away. What, B.F. Skinner, what would be the likely predictable effect of telling people that their biggest health risk, their risk of dying, is being anywhere near another person? Yeah, I'll never call you again. I'm sorry. Well, I don't know. He didn't really have an opinion. He was just mad at me. But I'm feeling that that pandemic might have had a little bit to do with it. And let me tell you why. I am completely aware that my social instinct was destroyed, meaning that whatever natural impulse I had to be with people, gone. And I'm pretty sure that it was operant conditioning, that every single day I was told that my biggest risk was another person. It didn't matter who, anybody, just any other person. Don't get near them. Now, you think that didn't make a difference? Let me tell you. I tell you this too often, but I'm a trained hypnotist. It definitely trained the public to not like other people. Absolutely, 100% the pandemic taught us to be afraid of being around other people. Now, how many of you are aware of it? Now, maybe, had you ever thought of it until I mentioned it? But once I mention it, the yeses are just streaming by. Once I mention it, it's obvious, isn't it? As soon as I explain it to you, it is 100% obvious. There's no other way it could have gone. There's nothing else that could have happened. If you train people with literally conditioning, I will penalize you. You could die. After 2 years of continuous brainwashing, that the biggest risk is each other, and now there's, oh, surprise, there's some loneliness epidemic. There are probably at least five different reasons why we don't want to be with each other. Number one, politics has made it so that if you had a party at your house, a fight would break out. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but you know what I mean. So half of all the people I could spend time with just disappeared. Now, in my specific case, nearly everybody that I hung out with socially, maybe 75% of the people I spent time with socially were so anti-Trump that it just ended that possibility completely. It just wasn't possible. Then there was not drinking. You know, if you don't drink, that takes another whole big part of your social life. Then there's phones. I would like to give you my impression of your friend and or date on a date with you. Boy, you want some more of that, don't you? If you're listening only, I'm just looking at my phone and ignoring you. Watch. Watch how much you want to spend some more time with me. You can't get enough of that, can you? Don't you want some more of that? No, don't beg. Don't beg. I'm going to give you some more. Yeah? Drink it in. Drink it in. That's what being with other people is like. Just watching them use their phone. There's not much point to it. And then suppose you want to have sex with them. Well, that's just a terrible idea. That's a terrible idea. I think it used to be a good idea, but for a variety of reasons you don't need me to list. It's a terrible idea. What if they get pregnant? Worse yet, what if you end up marrying them? That's a disaster. Yeah, what if you have kids? Take all your money. And so there's the economic part, there's the no drinking part, there's the training we had in the pandemic, there's the cell phones, you know, the competitive uses of time. It's everything. Every single force is driving us away from each other, and politics at the top of the list. All right, so, but let's talk about the individual company or countries, elements. So let's say the cities. Let's start with Oakland. If you were a subscriber to the Dilbert comic that runs now only behind a paywall on X, so I can do more dangerous stuff, and also on the Locals platform where you see the Dilbert comic, but also the Dilbert calendar and lots of other stuff, like my other comic called Robots Read News. But I should give you a preview that Dilbert's company has decided to move to Oakland to save money. They're going to move the company to Oakland. The boss's plan is that the rent is cheaper, so they're going to save some money on rent. That's good. But they're really trying to save money on staffing, and they figure that the natural attrition that happens in Oakland would save them some staffing money. And when I say attrition, I do mean murder. So they're going to downsize the company in a sort of a natural way so they don't have to fire anybody. They'll just say, hey, why don't you park over there and walk to the office? And they'll take care of at least 30% of the staff. It's not immediate, but, you know, over the course of a year, most of them will be murdered. Let's see. How about L.A.? That's Oakland. So Oakland's doing great. The L.A. Times writes that that you're wrong to think that the migrants are bringing in fentanyl. So L.A. Times would like you to know you're probably a bigot if you think that migrants are bringing in any extra fentanyl. Then there's the U.S. government who wants us to know that the immigrants are bringing in a lot of fentanyl. Oh, so that's like the opposite of the news. Huh. So the L.A. Times apparently is a representative of the city at large, a complete disaster. But that's just, you know, two cities. So Oakland's got some troubles, and L.A. has a lying media and lots of fentanyl, apparently. But at least things are going well in Detroit. Well, except for the gangs, the organized gangs of South American companies, they're breaking into gated communities and high-end homes and taking their safes, jewelries, and precious metals. So, yeah, so that's not perfect. But Detroit is doing great besides that. No, actually, nothing's good in Detroit. Can't drink the water, can't go outdoors, can't get a job. But also, if you had a nice house, and there must be three or four of them in Detroit, they're all getting robbed, every one of them. You know, I'm kind of looking forward to my first home invasion because I'm hoping I'm home when it happens. You know, my neighbors got hit by a similar gang. There was a South American gang that was working my town. So literally that neighbor, the house was invaded by a gang of people who all ran in and stole their stuff when they were away. But I'm hoping I'm home because I want to have the conversation when it happens. It's like, all right, where's all your jewels? And I'd say, jewels? You understand I'm a straight white man, right? Yeah, where are all your jewels? You're not even hearing me. I'm a straight, single white man. I don't have a jewel. Not only do I not have jewels, plural, I don't have a jewel. And they'd say, yeah, okay, I believe you, but where's your precious metals? My precious metals? What am I, Bob Menendez? I don't keep precious metals in my house. What do you think, I've got gold bars somewhere? The most precious metal I have would be like aluminum foil. I don't know. What's the most precious metal I have in my house? Plastic? Yeah, you can have all the precious metal you can find. And collect it all up with my jewels. And then it says they also take safes. Now, that would be the funniest. I do actually have a safe. I believe I have $80 in cash in it. And some documents that I don't remember putting in there a long time ago. The last place I would put anything valuable would be a gun. Or, I'm sorry, a safe. I saw you. I'm reading your comments. The last place I would put something valuable would be in a safe. Do you know why? That's where everybody goes for your valuable stuff. Why would I put it in the exact place that's easiest to find? It's a lot easier not to have anything valuable. Like, I don't even know what I would have that you could carry out in your hands. My iPad? Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that conversation when the home invasion comes. New York City is doing great. So at least, you know, at least that's one good thing. New York City is doing great. Well, not right now, but in the 1930s, it was doing great. There's a video of New York City street where everybody was, you know, thin and they looked healthy and happy. And the New York Post is doing a story that says Bill Ackman, famous investor Bill Ackman, was commenting that something must have happened to our food supply. Bill Ackman is in the news for forwarding that video and saying that there's something wrong with our food supply. I wonder if anybody else forwarded that video and said there's something wrong with the food supply. Was it me? yeah, it was. You got about 7 million views. But Bill Ackman makes better press, I guess. And anyway, but it didn't come from me either. So whoever is the secret person who sent that video to me influenced the world. We may have found the prime influencer, if only, if only. All right, so New York City is, of course, a shithole now, but in the 1930s, it was great. How about Delaware? We don't think about Delaware too much, but at least Delaware is a solid state. It's a, oh, no, Elon Musk is saying he just moved his corporation, SpaceX, out of Delaware to Texas. And he recommends, if your company is still incorporated in Delaware, I recommend moving to another state as soon as possible. He didn't say this, but apparently Delaware is a shithole of corruption and might try to destroy you for political reasons. Okay, sure. Maybe we do have some problems, a little bit of problems. Detroit and New York City and Los Angeles and Delaware. But the good news is Kansas City is doing great. They won the Super Bowl, had a big event. Oh, okay. There was a mass shooting at their big event in Kansas City, so that's less than perfect. But here's the most interesting part. It was a massive event that was attended by primarily people who love football. That's right. So there was a shooter who decided that he would do a crime and then he would escape the scene by running fast through a vast crowd of people who were thinking about tackling and football and blocking. And many people who had experience in tackling, blocking, and playing football. So, did anybody tackle him? Oh, yeah. It's exactly what you think. Apparently, there was one dad, literally a dad, who somebody said, get that guy. And without thinking whatsoever, he tackled him. And apparently, he slowed him down. But here's the best part. He only slowed him down. The guy kind of got away from him because he took him down, but the guy got away. And another dad took him down right away. So he got gang tackled, and then they held him down, and then the wife took the gun. But I want to read you the quote from the first dad who tackled the guy, and he said he didn't think about it at all. There was no hesitation. Do you know why there was no hesitation to tackling a guy? Because he was in a massive football-related event in which every person there was primed for tackling. There was tackling on the mind. Every single male human being there was looking at stuff to tackle. I'll bet people were walking around saying, I could tackle that motherfucker over there. He wouldn't even see it coming. I could take his legs out right now. And then there was somebody that you could actually tackle legally. I think they were the happiest people in the world. You don't think that dad was happy to tackle him? Well, let me read you his quote. And I quote, I was just yelling, F your gun. And I was just hitting him in his ribs. It was great. You know, America stuff. Standing ovation. America. But it was a tragedy and somebody died, so that can't forget that. Fuck your gun. I was just hitting him in the ribs. It was great. You know, America stuff. Oh, that is America stuff. But so Kansas City is a hellhole of crime and football. Taylor Swift. But at least Chicago's doing well. At least Chicago's doing well. I mean, these other cities, shills. So here's some news from Chicago. Oh, this doesn't look so good. The mayor, Brandon Johnson, wanted to get rid of what's called their shot spotter technology. So it's a company that puts up these listening towers, and they can triangulate when there's gunfire, and they can deploy. So if you had a city in which there was massive violence, especially gun violence, and you were the mayor, obviously the first thing you do is get rid of any kind of technology that would reduce the problem. So he said he was going to cancel his ShotSpotter thing, but because he's not like crazy or anything, he decided that he would keep it for another 6 months, at least to get through the summer, because that's when the Democratic National Committee is going to do their thing in Chicago. So, you know, he wanted to be able to find any gunfire during the national convention. And then the ShotSpotter people said, you can shove your stupid city up your stupid ass. And they said, we're quitting right now. Good luck with the Democratic National Convention. It looks like it was just personal. You know, instead of taking 6 months more of revenue, the company just said, how about we don't work with you at all? How about your damn city just gets shot up and you get fucking shot? How about that? How about you're dead because you don't take care of crime and there's going to be bullets everywhere? How about we just get the fuck out of your city and you handle it on your own? How about that? So that's what happened. All right. But at least, like I said, New York City is doing great. They've got a trial there. How many different ways are they trying to put Trump in jail for bullshit? How many ways is New York State and New York City trying to do that? A lot of ways. Now, I don't have the updates, but it looks like there will be a trial, and there will be a jury on the big case of Trump and his valuing of his assets. That's the one that would cost him the most money, right? So I'm all confused about all of his legal cases, but I will say this. I just want to make sure that the, you know, whoever's in charge of the country, who knows, but whoever's in charge, there is a line. I mean, just in case you wondered, there is a line that's too far. And I'll say it again, if Trump spends one day in jail, all bets are off. The social contract is broken at that point. Everything's on the table after that. There's no constraint. I would not advise anybody to even do anything in particular. I would just say all rules would be broken at that point. You do have to follow some rules of civilization. If you cross that line, civilization is over. That's the way it will look. And people will act that way. So good luck with that. If you want to destroy the whole country, you're on a good path. I don't think it'll happen. I think there'll be some way Trump will stay out of jail. In some way, he won't have to pay, you know, $400 million or whatever they're trying to get. But at the moment, it doesn't look good. Honestly, it doesn't look good. Tucker Carlson gave us some videos from his Moscow trip. He went to a grocery store and then did a little video in the Moscow grocery store to say that basically there was tons of food and it was way less expensive than in the West. And he's kind of wondering, he said it radicalized him against the leaders in his own country, because against Western leaders, because it's sort of obvious that even living under a dictator, they have more food and a better quality of life. Now, I think maybe there are a few variables more than groceries, but groceries are a pretty good place to start. Pretty good place to start. Yeah, so this whole cost of living thing, we got wrong. Now, to be fair, I think there are lots of things you can do if you're a dictatorship. You can get rid of crime if you're a dictatorship. Yeah, that's a little bit easier. Get rid of crime. You just kill them, put them in jail. So the fact that they don't have street people in Russia, that's not exactly something to emulate if the only way they got there is just putting everybody poor in jail or whatever. I don't know. But I wouldn't assume that Moscow is a better deal, but they do certainly have some advantages, and it's worth knowing about that. And then Tucker went into the Moscow metro station, sort of their subway, and it's all like beautiful and ornate, and there's no graffiti, and it's the same thing, right? They have, apparently they have police, and they use them, so it's not hard. But the funny thing is that there's just tons of footage, you know, video of the happy people walking around and there's no crime and everything's clean in that Moscow metro station. But Tucker says he won't speculate why everything's so good. He goes that he'll just ask the question, you know, why is this subway so clean and safe? And why is ours dirty and unsafe? And then he shows the footage, and I'm not going to say that there's a dog whistle involved here, but I'm just going to give you my opinion. When you see the video, it's obvious what's happening there. They don't have systemic racism. So I would say that the reason the Moscow metro station is good is no systemic racism. What? You don't agree? Yeah, no systemic racism. That's all I saw. I don't know what you saw. Oh, yeah. So I guess there's some things that you have to talk about carefully in the United States. I don't know about Russia. But do you remember when we had free speech? I don't really remember that either. All right. But not to feel bad, because many parts of our transportation system are very good. Maybe our subways are a little, you know, dirty. But the other parts of our transportation system, very, very good. For example, there was a Delta flight from Amsterdam to Detroit in which no doors fell off the plane. The entire way, all the way from Amsterdam to Detroit, there wasn't a single door that fell off. Now, they wish that one had, because it turns out that the overhead compartment was full of maggots, which fell onto the disgusted passengers in midair. So the cabin was full of maggots that came out of some luggage that infested bad fish in it or something. So, you know what would really help them? As if they had an open door they could throw the maggots out of. So that's sort of bad luck. You finally get on the flight where the doors stay on, full of maggots, full of maggots. But I don't want to make it sound like everything in the United States is bad transportation-wise. Because, you know, just because our subways are dangerous and dirty, and just because our airplanes are full of maggots and the doors are falling off, that doesn't mean every part of our transportation system is broken. For example, here's a story about a woman who had a self-driving car. She was the sister-in-law of Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell. She was in a Tesla, I think. And the Tesla backed up into a lake and she drowned. We don't know if it's self-driving or not, but... So... Yeah, it backed into a lake. And I thought to myself, you know, it probably wasn't the car's fault, you know, that it's easy to imagine it was. But wouldn't that be the best murder thing ever? If you could hack somebody's self-driving car and make it drive into a lake? I can't even think of a better murder scheme than that. Because if you could hide the hack, it's sort of a perfect crime. So might see some more of that. But anyway, you'll be fine in America if you don't get into a subway situation on a plane or in any kind of a car or moving vehicle whatsoever. You'll be fine. Just stay away from those things. Everything will be fine. Well, Putin, quite cheekily, and it's almost funny. I think Putin is taking lessons from Trump. So he did a interview with the Russian press, and he was asked if Russia, or he, preferred that Biden was president or Trump. Now, Putin, cleverly, says he prefers Biden because Biden is an old-school politician and he's predictable, and Donald Trump is not predictable. Do you see what Putin just did? Putin is very clearly waiting for Trump. He's obviously waiting for Trump to negotiate a deal. But in the meantime, he's acting like he's backing that he's backing Biden, and he's saying that Biden would be better for Russia and Trump would be worse for Russia. Do you think he's doing that intentionally? Of course. Of course he's doing it to influence American politicians. Yeah, he is very directly interfering in the election to tell people that if you don't like Russia, Trump would be the right answer. But I'm pretty sure that Putin actually wants Trump, as do a lot of people who, you know, want people to be tougher with Putin, I suppose. Well, did you hear the news that there might be some kind of dangerous, some kind of risk to our national security that we can't know about, but somebody went into the skiff to find out what it is, this Jared Moskowitz. Must be, he's in the House. Is he a senator or a representative? Jared Moskowitz. Anyway, he went into the skiff where they see the secret stuff, but they can't talk about it. And he came out and he said, it's definitely not about aliens. And it confirms there's no intelligent life in Congress. So whatever the hell the risk is, it's probably, you know, no more risk than you already knew there was. Now, Edward Snowden says that the reason for this national security, we think it's space-related. That's the only thing we know. It might be Russia-related. So Edward Snowden, who you might know, is in Russia because he would be locked up if he were in America. And he was the whistleblower that told us about our own government looking into all of our business. And he says, turns out the urgent national security space panic memo was in reality a clumsy attempt by the House Intel Committee to swing tomorrow's votes to prohibit spying on Americans without a warrant and to ban the government's purchase of your private data for surveillance. So Snowden thinks it's a diversion from the votes about surveillance of Americans. He might be right. Because I look to Russia for my accurate news. Do you know why I look to a guy in Russia to get my accurate news about America? Let me give you some accurate news from my own press here, the LA Times. The LA Times says that the migrants are not bringing any fentanyl into the United States. That's what the news in my country is saying. The news in Russia about my country, from Snowden, who's an American, is that it was a big old diversion. Now, other people say it's a diversion too, but they say it's a diversion, or not a diversion, but it's to talk people into voting for more aid to Ukraine, and, you know, because that would say that Russia's got this big risk, and if we don't beat them now, it'll be harder later, or whatever. So here's what I love about this. I love the fact that we can all see the gears of the machine. And as soon as that national security risk came out, almost everybody who pays attention said at the same time, oh, that's one of those diversion things. We didn't used to do that. Do you remember when nobody did that? It used to be when there was a story in the news, it was just a story in the news. It was just another story. But now we understand that the news is fake and that it's being, you know, fed by the deep state and other interests. And that we know that the news is manipulated to brainwash the citizens, and that's it. It's all diversions and brainwashing and propaganda. And once you see it, then you see it everywhere, right? It's not like it happened that one time and, oh, here's another one of those. No, it's everything. It's every story all the time is propaganda, and that's the only reason you're seeing it. If it didn't have a propaganda benefit, you wouldn't even see it. It probably wouldn't even be in the news, you know, unless it was an earthquake or something. Anyway, David Sachs says that Putin is the new COVID. So if we can get you worried enough about Putin, then the deep state can get all the funding approval and the regulations that it needs to have more control over Americans and make more money. And now that Putin has some kind of alleged space-related risk, I think we need to vaccinate space. What do you think? Vaccinate space? We're already vaccinating our climate. There's a story about putting particles in the air that would reflect heat so we can cool the Earth. Literally. Well, you could argue whether that's literal, but it's very much like vaccinating the air. We're actually vaccinating the air for climate change. Aren't we? We're putting something into the air that would reject the thing that we're trying to have less of, the heat. If you put a vaccination in your body, it's to reject the thing you don't want, some kind of virus. They're literally vaccinating the air against heat. Like in the real world, people are actually trying to vaccinate the air. Anyway, now we have to vaccinate space. But the good news is there was a launch of a lunar lander. Is that SpaceX? I saw Musk talk about it. I assume it's SpaceX. So SpaceX built a lunar lander, or did somebody else build it and they just launched it? Who built it? Did NASA build it? Somebody says both. NASA built the lander and SpaceX launched it. Is that what happened? Okay, I think that's what happened. All right, so somebody built it, but SpaceX launched it. So that's exciting. Do you think we'll have any wars on the moon? Of course, that's what we do. Meanwhile, Japan and UK have slipped into recessions, which means two straight quarters of no growth. Why is the United States not slipping into recession? It's because we're so well managed. Is that why? We're so well managed? Or is it because we ran up our debt and we're basically doomed in the long run? Yeah, it's debt spending, right, and war. Military spending, debt spending, giving money away, right. So there's actually no way to tell if our economy is doing well. There's no way to tell. Because everything is so disguised by government spending at this point, it'd be hard to know what it looks like without it. All right. Mayor Eric Adams of New York City is suing social media companies for destroying the minds of children. Now, he's not the first one to do it. It's kind of interesting that why does the New York City mayor think that's his job? I mean, I realize it could have been anybody who has standing, but is he grandstanding? You know, what exactly is he doing that for? Is he doing it as a threat so they'll give him more funding or something? I don't know. But he's decided that's something he's going to go after. So it's filed in the California Superior Court. I wonder why. Maybe that's because where these companies are domiciled. But he's suing Alphabet's YouTube, Snap, TikTok, and Meta. But he's not suing, apparently, X. Do you know why he is not suing the X platform? It's not really a kid platform. I don't think anybody's getting too hypnotized on the X platform. Now, I don't know if this will work, but what do you think about the fact that parents still let their kids on these apps while there are serious adults who are suing the companies that make them because it's giving children brain damage? And still, we just sleepwalk through the day saying, well, my kid will just complain too much and be a social outcast if they don't have a phone, so I'll just hope they don't go crazy. But of course they will, because that's what it does. So it's a weird situation where we're all aware that these things are killing children, and we do pretty much nothing as parents. Pretty much nothing. It's a weird situation. Well, Michael Schellenberger, who had been reporting about the alleged missing binder of top-secret intelligence about allegedly Russia threatening national security, and apparently the binder, it may be in the possession of somebody in the U.S. government, not sure who, but it would allegedly, if it's real, its contents allegedly incriminate the intelligence community in the United States for illegal spying and election interference. So, where do you think that is? Where do you think the binder is that would tell you that our intelligence people created the Russia collusion hoax and that it was all coordinated by the top members of the government, and that your government should all be in jail, or at least the government at that time should all be in jail? Now, where's that? I have a theory. It's definitely not in Biden's garage. Do you all agree? It's not next to the Corvette, because I think they look there already. It might have been. It could have been in Mar-a-Lago or something. I guess it couldn't have been next to the Corvette, because that was old stuff. But maybe it was in Mar-a-Lago. Maybe that's why they raided it. Don't know. But I think it's with Epstein's list. Do you think that the same people who have the alleged existing binder might have the alleged existing Epstein list too? Doesn't it feel like it would be the same people? And don't you think that whoever has those documents is in charge of the country? Whoever has those documents is sort of in charge of the country. Because if I were the intel people and I knew that somebody had them, I'd be very cooperative if I knew that somebody had that material. So we need to figure out who has the binder and if it exists and if it really says what we think it is, what we think it does. In other conspiracy news, George Soros' son, who's taking over the business, Alex Soros, has a new girlfriend. How many of you have heard this story of Alex Soros' new girlfriend, who he just did a Valentine's post so we know they're together? It's Huma Abedin. Does any of that seem kind of unusually coincidental to you? It was basically was she like a chief of staff for Hillary Clinton? What was her job title? She was Hillary's primary staffer, I guess, you know, after she was out of office. So what are the odds that the person most connected at one point to Anthony Weiner, who's quite a catch, was then rumored to be romantically involved with Hillary Clinton? I'm not aware of any validation of that rumor. But if it were true, she'd be quite a catch. And then allegedly she'd be with Alex Soros, who's, I think, about 10 years younger. I think she's about 10 years older than him. And Alex is quite a catch. Does any of this seem real to you? It doesn't exactly seem real, does it? Now, it's real in the sense that I'm pretty sure that they took a picture together. But do you think that's a real relationship? By coincidence, that of all the people in the world, Huma Abedin, the only single person you know in politics, and is connected to the Clintons. That's a gigantic coincidence, isn't it? So that would put the entire sort of Clinton universe of deep state operatives, we assume, with the biggest funder of such activities, and it would make them one big sort of almost like the way you know how royalty in the old days, they would marry off a daughter to another royal family to just make sure that they were connected by family. This feels like that. It feels like a royal family wedding that's more about the power arrangement or something. I don't know. Fun to watch. Meanwhile, speaking of Soros, the George Soros Fund is buying the second biggest chain of radio stations in the United States. Uh-oh. What? 220 radio stations? Soros is going to control the messaging on 220 radio stations. How is that legal? How in the world is that legal? I don't understand at all. I don't see where it's AM or FM. But it would include WFAN and 1010 Winds, as well as a Los Angeles-based KROQ. Are those AM or FM? I don't know. Does it matter? They have a lot of talk radio. So the issue is that it's talk radio and that it could influence the elections. Wow. So that story is exactly what it looks like. There's this one guy, George Soros, who seems to be more influential in American politics than all of our votes put together. So there's that. That all of your votes put together don't equal that one guy, you know, that's your system. And I would say that the one and only thing that's keeping America anywhere near striking distance of free speech is Elon Musk. If you didn't think Elon Musk buying Twitter was worth the money, then you're looking at it in a very narrow way. Because I believe that Musk said he didn't pay $44 billion for Twitter. He paid that for free speech, and he actually got it. In a sense, it's the only free speech platform there is, in my opinion. It's the only one. And if we didn't have it, we would be in so much trouble. Just think of all the news that's happened in the last 2 years, and then imagine that there was no independent place that you could hear what's really going on. Because the only reason I know what's going on is because of Twitter or X. I don't know it because of the news, for sure. Well, apparently Jamie Dimon is not going to be welcome in the White House while Biden is there, simply because he said that you should respect people who liked Trump. And then he said that he didn't hate Trump and Trump did a few things right. And so now he's unwelcome in the White House. Now, does that tell you everything you need to know? That's everything you need to know. Jamie frickin' Dimon? How in the world is he anyone's enemy? Now, you know, I don't know what he does in his personal life, and I don't know if he's done anything that you don't like, but rarely do you see somebody who is so overtly trying to be helpful to the United States. I mean, he's making a ton of money himself, and he's, you know, a good spokesperson for his company. But when he talks, I just don't hear politics at all. I just hear him trying to tell you what's true and what would work and what wouldn't work in a very practical way. And for that, for the crime of being open-minded and suggesting we should have more respect for our fellow citizens, he might be unwelcome in the nation's house. That's where things are at. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So you wonder why people are spending more time alone? Well, he won't be spending time in the Oval Office, apparently, so he'll have a little more alone time. So Iran has claimed Antarctica. This is a true story, I think. It's in the news. I don't know. Maybe it's not. But Iran's navy has claimed ownership of part of the South Pole. They have property rights, they say, and they plan to raise their flag there and carry out military and scientific work. Is it possible that Iran has way more power than we imagine? Yeah. We're actually afraid of a war with Iran, which should tell you something. Meanwhile, over in Gaza and Israel and the West Bank, so as you know, Israel wants to move into Rafah, the southern part, the city in the southern part of Gaza that's got over 1 million people in it. Many of them escaped from the north when the north was largely razed by Israel. And now they're coming after the south, and they're saying, "Hey, don't worry. You could always escape before we attack by going north to the place that's already destroyed and has no food and services, or not much." So Biden White House apparently does not want that to happen and is pushing very hard for Israel not to do a full invasion of Rafah and instead to work something out. Now, that's not going to happen, is it? I don't think there's any chance in the world. I think he's just playing good cop. Do you think Biden is even serious? I think he's just playing good cop and politics. So the politics are that Biden wants to keep everybody happy. So he's found a place where saying stop killing each other sounds right to everyone's ears, even if there's no practical way to do it. So there's no practical way to stop Israel from doing everything it needs to do, because they're only going to get one chance to do it, and they're not going to miss it. You know, they're not going to get another chance to do this, and they really, really need to do this if they ever want to, you know, get on top of the ongoing forever problem of having a neighbor that wants to destroy all of you. So it looks to me like it might be a fake fight, or at least a little bit fake, in the sense that I'm not entirely sure that the US government hates what Israel's doing, because they might be practical about it a little bit too. But on the other hand, they can't say it out loud, and it's never a bad idea to say, "Hey, why don't you work it out and talk?" Because that always sounds like the adult in the room, even if there's no practical way to do that, even if it's dumb, even if you don't want it. Just saying, "Hey, peace, peace." It always sounds adult, even when it's impractical. So it might be that. But apparently, I think this report is unsubstantiated, unless something happened recently. So I'll look at the comments to see if you know more than I do about this one. But the Biden administration is rumored to be poised to declare that there's a Palestinian state and its capital is in Jerusalem. Do you think that's true? Or is that just pressure that the Biden administration is putting on Netanyahu? Sort of like, if you go into Rafah, we're going to have to take sides with the Palestinians because that's too far. Is that what they're telling him? And if we take sides, we're going to say two states, we're going to recognize two states, and we're going to recognize that there are capitals in Jerusalem, even if you don't like it. I don't think this is real. I'm going to predict that they don't establish. Basically, they're not just saying they're in favor of two states. It's like they're going to declare there are two states. I think they won't. Yeah, I think the lobbyists here are probably too strong. And I would like to renew my suggestion for the two-state, one-state solution. And by the way, it's obvious. If you want to predict where it goes, I'll tell you, it's very predictable. There will be a two-state, one-state solution in which it is both two states and one state at the same time. And it's obvious because there's no place else it could go. There's only one way it could go, and that's it. And what I mean is that it won't be two states and it won't be one state. It'll be a hybrid. Because it has to be. There's no scenario in which Israel is going to give up full security control of the West Bank and Gaza. That'll never happen. So if you have full security control, police and military, it's kind of like one state. However, it would make complete sense if they said, we only want to do the security as we define it, which includes the school system. Because if the school system is being, you know, brainwashed to become terrorists, that's a security problem. So they might say, we don't care what else you teach them, but you can't teach them to hate Israel, so we have to be in charge of, you know, approving and controlling the curriculum. Bet they won't agree to it. In the long run, it's the only place it will go. So here's your long term. It will be two states, but the second state will be fake. In other words, they won't have their own security. However, it would be a terrific deal for the Palestinians in theory. Now, it wouldn't give them their emotional win. But imagine any country that had, let's say, an educated population, and you had a lot of people in the world who want to see them do well so they could potentially get funding if they stop terror stuff. And imagine if they didn't have to pay for any of their own police or their own national security. Maybe they'd end up paying for the police. I'm not sure about that, even if it was, you know, controlled by Israel. But I would think they would save a lot of money. They would be free from any external risk because Israel would keep them from being conquered by anybody else. It would actually be economically a tremendous situation. And if they had full freedom of religion, with the exception of you can't weaponize your children against Israel, then it would look like a terrific deal. It's just, you know, mentally and psychologically, it would be hard to say, you know, we're under the control of another country. But if you imagine that the Palestinians could have full control of their daily life, and the only thing they don't worry about is another country conquering them, maybe. You see, the problem is every other solution is so obviously worse than that, that you could predict it with pretty high degree of certainty. So I'm going to make this a definite prediction. I just don't know the timeline. It could be 20 years from now. It could be 30 years from now. But eventually, it seems obvious they'll have a fake two-state solution where there's one group that does live somewhat independently. There's just another group that does their national security and make sure their schools don't get out of control. I think that would work. So I think that's where it's heading. All right. Apparently, Special Counsel Herr, who is the pronoun, he's got his own pronoun. I love that. I wonder if Special Counsel Herr ever got married to a woman named him. Wouldn't that be interesting? I wonder if there's anybody whose last name is him. Because then whenever anybody talked about him, like if the wife didn't change her last name, because let's say she's a professional, so they both have different last names, say, do you want to get together with what's his name and what's his name? Sure. Yeah, why don't you hang out with her and I'll do something with him. Okay, wait a minute. Do you mean him, her? I mean, it would be just totally confusing. Yeah, or she. or XI, she. That's better. Yeah, was it she? Was it her? Anyway, he's going to testify to Congress, I guess, and we'll find out about Biden's memory problems. The latest story on Biden's memory problem is that he lied when he said that he was asked about Beau's date of death. Apparently, he was never asked that question. But in the context of other questions, he brought it up himself and had some memory problems with it, which I don't believe, actually. I actually don't believe that Biden had genuine problem remembering the date of his son's death. I don't believe that. But he may have had other, you know, competence issues that we'll find out about. Yeah. I mean, he obviously has memory problems, but I don't think he forgot that. Let me say why. I've actually lost a stepson. You don't forget what year it happened. You don't forget that. 2018. Yeah. You think I'm going to forget that year? Not a chance. Nope. Nope. That's there permanently. Yeah. And so I hate to say it because I know you want to, you know, rag on Biden, but I'm going to back him 100% that he remembers the date that his son died. 100%. Now you could say, but Scott, you might be wrong. To which I say, I don't care. I don't care. I'm just going to back him as someone who has a similar experience. And so I back him as a dad. I back him as a dad. And I say that you can go after everything else. But if you're going after that, like, and you're giving meaning to that, I can't back you on that. Yeah. I will not accept that there's a father who lost his son and doesn't remember the year. And nope, 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 nope. And by the way, I'm completely aware in like an intellectual way that I could be wrong, but my body won't let me accept it. Yeah, my body is rejecting the idea that there could ever be a father who would forget the death, the year his son died. He remembered the date. So he did remember the calendar date, which is harder. Yeah. So maybe we'll get to the bottom of that. But we do know that Biden lied when he was mad that they would ask him the date of his son's death, because they never asked him the date of his son's death. He volunteered it and had some trouble remembering it, they say. I'm not so sure. Yeah, and misordering I can't tell you how many times I get 2004 mixed up with 2014. Do any of you have that issue? I confuse those all the time, you know, because I have a big calendar problem that I talk about all the time. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, there was so much news. I feel like I'm missing some big stories. What are the big stories I'm missing? Anything you see happening that... I'm just going to look at your comments because I'm pretty... Yeah, so I'm intentionally staying away from the Trump legal stuff. And the reason is that it's too confusing and it's changing too quickly. So I'm just going to watch it the way you are. So to me, it all goes... I don't know how your memory works, but my memory works as concept buckets. I never remember exact words. I never remember, you know, I'm bad at any exact memory. But I always remember concepts, right? Always remember concepts. So what was I talking about? I just forgot what I was talking about. That's a pretty good example. What was I just talking about? Oh, the lawfare? Yeah. So here's why the lawfare doesn't register with me, because all the stories are the same. If you try to remember the legal jeopardy conceptually, which is the only way I remember anything, so I say, okay, conceptually, let's form a bucket. And all right, the concept is there's some lawfare against Trump. The charges are maybe possibly technically true, but not the sort of thing you would ever see anybody prosecuted for. So that means probably the prosecutor is a Soros-funded DA who coordinated with the White House and is now in an active legal process that they're trying to complete before the election, but the lawyers are trying to delay it. Now, which of the legal cases did I just describe? All of them, right? So that's my problem. I would be a much better at doing this thing I'm doing right now if I had a more like a, you know, detailed memory. But I don't remember things that way. I saw a whole bunch of things that are the same thing, and I threw them in the same bucket. So it's just lawfare against Trump, trumped up charges, Soros DAs coordinated, trying to get it done. Trump's lawyers trying to stall. That's every story, isn't it? Did I miss one? Yeah. And they all seem illegitimate. At the same time, they might be technically true. That in the, there's no real conflict with that. They can be technically true and still completely inappropriate given the context. There's a story of a Russia cancer vaccine. Impossible, because there are too many different cancers. There was a C-SPAN conversation with former head of CIA. I did not see that. And I did see your comment that Nick Fuentes has responded to my request for somebody to explain the mass alleged Jewish conspiracy, which apparently he sees, but nobody seems to be able to describe in a way that's coherent. But I'm sure that, can you answer some questions, if any of you saw his response? Does he have documents that show the mass conspiracy? Or some whistleblowers? Does he have any whistleblowers or documents? If he does, I'll take a look. Because those are the only things I asked for. I didn't ask for pattern recognition, because that's where they're going wrong. So more pattern recognition would just be more of the wrong stuff. But if there's, say, a email that somebody found that says, all the Jewish people are going to meet to take over the world, and here's how we're going to do it, and we're meeting on Thursday, I would definitely pay attention to that, because I'm pretty sure it doesn't exist. But if there's a whistleblower who says, yes, I was in the meetings, we're totally coordinating all this stuff. Russia cancer vaccine, I don't believe that's a real story. Nuclear bomb in orbit, I don't know that that's real. Yeah, we talked about the radio stations. CCP stealing secrets, that's normal. The students over here are spies, that's normal. AOC won't support the Ukraine funding bill. Interesting. Talk about Tulsi meeting Trump's about the department. I don't know about that. All right. I don't feel that we're in a bigger risk than we are any other time in history. How many of you think that we're in a more risky time, war-wise? Just war-wise. Do you? Yeah, no. I remember when I was a kid, we thought the nukes were going to hit us any moment. I don't think that now. I definitely don't think the nukes are going to hit us any minute. My worry would be the decline of civilization itself. So I worry about the declining birth rate. I worry about migration and the destruction of all the standards which allowed us to prosper. So that's stuff I worry about. Yeah. It does seem clear at this point that the CIA was behind the Russia collusion thing. And it does seem clear that they coordinated it with the White House. And here's what I'm wondering. We don't have enough already for everybody to be rounded up. We do, you know. We do. There's enough public information. Forget about what anybody would know privately. There's enough public information to arrest Obama. Is there not? I think Obama and Biden should both be arrested, because there is a legitimate, well-established coup that wasn't just plotted, it was actually executed. They actually executed the coup attempt. And I would argue that in 2020 they succeeded by changing the system enough that they got their coup. Now, just think about that. You don't have to wonder who's in charge. If a group of people ran coup attempts twice, at least twice, maybe three times, you could argue, and we know all their names. We know their names and we know what they did. And there's no arrests. Do you know why? Because that's who's running the country. There's no other explanation. If they weren't in charge of the country, they'd already be in jail. There's not a thing that Trump did that goes anywhere near what John Brennan did. Am I right? What we know John Brennan did with no ambiguity, the things we know he did for sure, you know, the proven, demonstrated, publicly available information, is way worse than anything Trump did. Yeah. Now, I, of course, am just a citizen, and I have no power over these people, but I'm going to give you one reframe that I think John Brennan earned. Right? It's as far as I can go. John Brennan is the poor man's James Clapper. That's all I have. Right? Now he's going to have to live with that for the rest of his life. That's a permanent stain. You're the poor man's James Clapper. How about that, huh? But you know what James Clapper is? He's the poor man's John Brennan, but I don't want to bring that out because it ruins the first one. Yeah. It's funnier that way. Brennan looks like his own mother dislikes him. Well, I do have the two unhappiest faces I've ever seen. I mean, John Brennan's smile is literally upside down. Yeah, John Brennan has one of those faces that you'd have to turn it upside down to make it look right. He looks the same right side up as up, you know, it just looks happier if you turn him upside down. So anyway, that's all I got for today. Thanks for joining me on the X platform and YouTube and on Rumble too. The news is coming fast and furious today, so stay tuned and I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for joining.